You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive looking sharp today, Corey Parson. Absolutely. Turn your mic on, son. Scott Angle.
At least once a show.
Twice a show. Wall Street Matt Williams.
Oh, and Matt, it happened to Matt at some point today, too.
But you always get me on Frenzy, but if I do it that one time, he does it like three times. But it's all good.
I'm Greg Sussman. Welcome inside Studio 34 here, Midtown Manhattan, 8 a.m. in the East, 5 a.m. Pacific, kicking it off. Kyrie is now, I'm doing it again, Scott. Kyrie is now in Boston. Isaiah Thomas is in Cleveland. Major trade in the NBA, Corey.
Yeah, big time trade in the NBA goes down last night, you know, in the wee hours. So now you see that the balance of power in the Eastern Conference still belongs to the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics. Boston gets much better. I think Kyrie Irving's a better offensive player. I think he's a better player all around than it comes to Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas still very good. One thing about Isaiah Thomas is when you're like that diminutive, you can't be the best player on the team. Feel what I'm saying? So now he goes to a situation where he doesn't have to be the best player on the team.
It's funny because both him and Kyrie both don't play defense, so it works out.
Yeah, exactly.
Kyrie Stevens probably is better than Isaiah Thomas, that's for sure.
Steph Curry is happy for this trade because he don't have to have Kyrie Irving putting him on skates for five or six games anymore.
I think everybody was initially stunned that these teams would deal with each other, but like you said the last hour, though, you know, Cleveland gets a first-round pick out of it from the Nets, who may not be as bad as they were, but still, you know, it's a first-round pick, so from that perspective, it made sense for them. And now you got, you know, Boston's got Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how that dichotomy works out as well. But, you know, like Corey was saying, you know, I still don't think they catch Cleveland here.
For me, it just seemed like they gave up a lot. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not the biggest basketball guy, but it just seemed like they gave up a ton.
Yeah, you know, I thought they gave up way too much just from the position that they were in. Ultimately, Cavs were desperate to trade away Kyrie Irving. And obviously, everybody knew this. Every team knew this. And they were holding kind of steadfast on what they would give up. And Boston not only gave up Jay Crowder, not only gave up Isaiah Thomas, but also gave up that first-round pick from the Nets next year, which could back to haunt them. We'll see.
Quick piece of information. Anybody out there, if you're going to log on to ESPN Fantasy right now, they're down for maintenance. So don't, you know, think it's just you or your computer. I think ESPN, they said that the message said preparing for fantasy football season. So ESPN Fantasy is down for maintenance right now as they get ready. Obviously, big drafts and stuff going down this weekend. So no panic. It's going to be good. You know what I'm saying? Just that little bit of
tidbit. They usually get it fixed. You know, me having worked at ESPN and CBS for years. You know, sometimes this stuff happens. Sometimes I saw it happen on, you know, an opening week and people go crazy. But they've been through enough Q&A at this point where, you know, it's not going to last for very long.
There you go. When we come back, the other big story, and that is Odell Beckham Jr. What's the deal with Odell Beckham? Should we be worried? I know one of us at this table is. We explain who and just how and why. When we come back, Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rashard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
So you wake up early this morning. Well, when you went to bed, you're reading about Odell Beckham, and you're like, listen, ankle injury, MRI confirmed that it's an ankle injury. Nothing to be worried about. Let me be honest with you. That's what I did. I got to work, and Corey and I are talking about the Kyrie Irving situation, and Scott looks at us like, what the F are you doing?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I go, what do you mean? He goes, did you not see the ESPN report? I go, what are you talking about? And I looked at my Twitter, and I follow every Giants beat reporter, obviously.
Yeah, that's your team.
And I got nothing. I'm like, well, Scott, what the hell is going on? What did I miss? You know, Odell could miss the first week or two, says ESPN. And I read the report. And Danny Graziano, the national reporter, former Giants beat reporter for ESPN, Jordan Renaud, the current ESPN beat reporter for ESPN, worked together in a story and said it is possible that he could miss the first and or second or and the second game over the season, depending on how he responds from this ankle injury.
Game is too important, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying?
I'll say this. Immediately following the ankle injury, he laughed off questions that he wouldn't be ready for week one.
Yeah.
But it's the player. You know, players are always even more optimistic, obviously. And he did come up, follow back with, I'm not a doctor. And whatever, we'll see. I would be stunned if he's not out there week one with an ankle injury.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's one thing when you have a hamstring or a quad and like it literally pulls at you when you run. The ankle injury almost in a way is like pain tolerance, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a pain tolerance thing. Now, I don't know what the kid's level of pain tolerance is. I mean, he was rolling down on the damn floor when it happened. So, but he probably was showing off when that took place. But that, you know, even though it's week one, that's a very important game. Dallas Cowboys are not going to have Ezekiel Elliott. This thing is going to play down until late December. You could have D.C. and also Philadelphia involved. They're both better teams so far this year. Now, at least that's what it looks like right now. So, you know, even though it's week one, that's a big game because you know those games are going to tighten up and be very important down the stretch. So to be able to have a one-game lead like that, Odell Beckham is clearly the best player on the New York Giants. They need him to win, especially in a situation like this. So, but as far as rankings and projections go for week one and right now, I'm not touching Odell Beckham in my rankings. He joggles between my wide receiver two and my wide receiver three in my PPR rankings. So I'm not touching Odell Beckham. I'm not moving him not one spot until something more significant comes. So you're drafting on the clock this weekend, top six pick, Odell Beckham, no problem whatsoever.
You know, Scotty, when we opened this show, you had him as your eighth-ranked wide receiver, well, ninth, and you graded yourself eighth. 16th player overall. We talked about that a little bit. You've now moved him as your fifth-ranked wide receiver.
Ninth overall.
And ninth overall.
Yeah. And ninth overall, yeah. Right.
You don't. If you didn't change that ranking, I was going to keep this helmet. I'm going to keep the Seahawks helmet.
You should keep the helmet.
Why should I keep the helmet,
associate
Scott?
Yourself with winning.
Yeah, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's yours.
Ultimately, you have him behind Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Mike Evans, and A.J. Green.
Yeah, right.
Which, to be fair, you could have had yesterday before any of this was...
True, but I did have him at two. My ranks are updated on rotoexperts.com right now. But, look, I don't know exactly what's happening with this injury for sure. So, to bump him a few spots, when you talk about these receivers, you're splitting hairs with all of them when you analyze it. You know, it gives me a reason to put him behind the other guys now. It's like, and we could say you only miss a week or two, but you're talking, you know, fantasy football is unlike other fantasy sports. You know, you miss a game or two in baseball, obviously a big difference, but, you know, you only play 13 regular season games. If you're going to be without your number one pick for the first two games, yeah, I at least got to bump him down a little because that possibility does exist. You know, you did say, with all due respect, I'd be stunned if he misses the opener.
I did say that.
I don't think we can base that on anything right now.
I'm basing it on the fact, kind of what Corey just brought up, was that this is a division game. It's Sunday Night Football, I believe.
Yeah, of course.
Sunday Night Football. Annual opener between the Giants and the Cowboys.
And Big D.
Always in Dallas. And...
Which is... The NFL doesn't need to do that. Because you're going to get a big market for that game anyway.
Why do it week one?
Exactly. You got New York and Dallas. You don't need to do that in week one.
I agree. But here you are, and it's this moment. I'd be surprised if it's pain.
Are you saying because of the magnitude of the game, because it's Dallas and the Giants?
And it's week one. Yeah.
It's week one. But look, if he wants to be there, that's different than being physically able to be there. There's a lot of guys. There's been guys not been able to play in the Super Bowl because of their injury.
Well, this is what I'm bringing up. Of course.
Yeah.
But what I'm bringing up.
But this is an injury that Terrell Davis Terrell Owens played with in the Super Bowl.
Well, this is what maybe. We don't even know it's a high ankle sprain. You don't even know that.
Yeah, you're right. We don't know if it's a high ankle sprain or not. So there you go.
Hey, look, I'm picking seven today. I'll be thrilled if Odell falls to seven. Yep. I will scoop him right up.
Absolutely.
What you got tonight, Matt?
This afternoon, I have my last draft champions of the year. It filled yesterday, so it goes live today at 1. Look at Le'Veon Bell this year. He missed 3 games.
You guys are wearing the same shirt tonight.
Even if he misses a game, I hope it's not 2, but even if he misses a game or 2, he's just that good. He, like we said, he could be the number one wide receiver. Look at what he's done the last 3 years. Look what he's done in 15 games in 2015, what he did in, 12 games in 2014. Mm-hmm. The guy's special. The last 3 seasons, I think he's, what does he have? He has 1,300, 10, and 90. Nobody else has done that.
No.
So I'm going to go with the uber talent that he is.
Yeah.
Hopefully, like I said, well, I'm not hearing high ankle sprain either. I haven't heard that.
Nope.
I heard an ankle sprain. I heard he avoided the dreaded high ankle sprain. So that makes me even a little more
confident. Another thing, if you're in a 10-team league, don't touch him in a 10-team league, because star power like Odell Beckham is very important in 10-team leagues. You know, we have to do that because a lot of people play in 10-team leagues, son.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So, and 10-team leagues are star powered.
About 8-team leagues.
Yeah. 10-team leagues are star-powered leagues. When you're in a 10-team league, you got to get as many studs on that team as possible.
Let's just remember, you know, Odell Beckham, last year, he played in his 16 games the first time in his career. First time in over 100 yards. Obviously, as Matt mentioned, over 1,300 yards in each game, in each year, over double-digit touchdowns in each year as well. And the previous years, he did miss games. One for suspension 2 years ago, and then being hurt that first week. Obviously, it all changes. I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Odell Beckham.
I'm not worried about
it. I am, but not his injuries.
I'm not going to assume anything either way. You know, I'd like to hear what Dr. A says
tomorrow.
Worry
about his maturity.
Are you worried?
I'd like to hear what Dr. A says tomorrow, and I'd like to, you know, if the reports come out positive, he's right back up at number 2 for me.
Are you worried about Brandon Marshall, Corey?
No, it came out last night and said that Brandon Marshall
was good to go. Same with Odell, though.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't hear any – be careful, Greg. You know what I'm saying? But you don't hear any reports about, you know, Marshall having a torn rotator cuff and he's going to be out week 1. So I'm not worried about Brandon Marshall. I'm glad the situation worked out, because I just put Brandon Marshall on the team the other night with a bag on it. So I was like, oh, well, let me make sure this is all right. Because, you know, I had him in my wide receiver 3, not my 4. I prefer Marshall as a 4. But as a 3, I can do it.
2 words, Sterling Shepard.
Yo, I got Sterling Shepard in the 17th round of a draft the other night. Yo, I don't know why he drops so far down the draft board, Shepard. Like, the guy is still going to be involved
right
in the offense. It makes no sense.
I'll tell you right now why. Because the average player, especially the reputation and the name of Brandon Marshall being with the Giants, they bump Shepard down.
Well, they got to understand that we know what we're talking about here, and that Bob McAdoo system can support 3 wide receivers.
And Matt made a good point
McAdoo
yesterday.
I mean, Ben McAdoo.
What was
who
it you
say?
Said about
Bob McAdoo.
The
McAdoo.
Big wide receivers when they get older?
Yeah, they can fall off a cliff pretty fast. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying Marshall's going to do what he is, just 1 year removed from a fantastic year where he had like over 170 targets, and he is going to a very pass-heavy offense.
Absolutely. Like I was saying, I think during the break, Evan Ingram, man, there was a lot of tweets about this guy that he could legitimately be a player here. That he ultimately may be the antithesis of the tight end position.
Antithesis.
For rookies.
Here's why, though. I said after the draft, the other 2 guys are more talented. O.J. Howard, I agree with Corey, is a Hall of Fame talent. Njoku is just raw and a physical specimen. But Ingram is ready. Ingram is kind of like a wide receiver. Eli Manning likes to throw to the tight end in the end zone as well. So they're going to run 3 wide receivers at a very high clip, and they're going to have some 4 sets out there as well. So that's the reason why I like him for this year. Am I drafting him as a tight end 1? Absolutely not.
Right.
But if I wanted to take a shot in the last round on a tight end 2, and everybody else that I liked was gone, I would take him.
Look, Eli loves throwing to the tight end. Corey, we talked about it over the years, like all the jokes we used with Kevin Boss, Bear Pascoe, you know. But like, you know, the guy was friggin' throwing to Larry Donnell, you know. And this guy is the most talented that he had a long, long time. He fits the scheme very, very well in terms of what he can do over the middle and in the red zone. Schematically, he's a missing piece.
Let me ask you this, guys.
The missing piece to what?
that offense, the passing game.
The missing piece is the running back.
It's the left tackle.
I'm talking about in the passing game.
Okay, and you're looking, I don't know if he's the missing piece. I think so.
He's a big, fluid target and a red zone guy. They just, you know.
What college you go to?
What? I don't remember, but look, I've watched the film on the guy. I don't watch college football.
The answer's Ole Miss, by the way. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, man.
Where Eli Manning went?
Correct.
Eli Manning went to Tennessee, didn't he?
No. Peyton Manning went to Tennessee. Give me the helmet back, Scott, until you get it right.
I don't care where they went to college. All that matters when they're in the pros.
In a league I drafted last week, I have Eric Ebron as my starting tight end. I don't have a backup tight end. If Ebron doesn't start, I need a tight end off the waiver wire.
Is Austin Hooper out there?
No. Oh. Can I start Evan Ingram?
That's risky. I'd go Gates if he's out there.
Good matchup against Dallas.
You know who's probably on your waiver wire? Dwayne Allen.
We'll be back right after this. Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns. Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year. Much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Hey, this is Kelly O'Coin, Dollar Bill on Billions and Pastor Tim and the Americans, and you're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, the Roto Experts in the Morning.
The most controversial show in the industry.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree. Hey, I mentioned this before. I want to bring it up again because we're talking about mock drafting. I said every year I mock draft, not like, you know, go to a room and do a mock draft, but I have a spreadsheet of every player in my league, and I mock out who I believe they will take. And for the most part, I'm relatively accurate. I mean, I do this every day, so like I should know who goes where. And you come up with personalities with it, and then I try to speculate who I'll get. The mock draft, everyone's kind of in there for their own reasons, and it doesn't really work for me. But I wanted to throw it out to you guys. You guys all participate in 1,000 leagues. I know, Matt, I mean, Corey's been drafting since literally the day after the Super Bowl. Matt, you've done 14. How many drafts have you actually done?
About. I think it's about 20.
All right, so you've done about 20 drafts.
Started like the May 23rd was my first draft.
All right, and you've done 20 drafts since May 23rd here, and it's August 23rd or so.
No, we did that draft in April, too, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, right after the draft, right after the NFL draft. Scotty, you've done plenty of drafts, obviously, thus far as well. But for the majority of people that are listening and that play fantasy football, they don't have 20 drafts done by August 23rd. They are drafting the day after the Super Bowl. And Sky, you know, with us, they're not thinking about football nearly as early as you and I are.
Right.
Do you believe that mock drafts are effective and helpful for the average player?
I think they're effective and helpful so you get practice and you get a feel. But I also feel that dangerous for the average player because I get into these conversations a lot. Hey, I've done a bunch of mocks. I end up with this, this, and this, that guy. You know, what do you think? And I think people use mock drafts and think sometimes the average player thinks that his team might actually not come out that way. You got to remember that every draft is different. A lot of times, it's more the rule than the exception, you don't know what's going to happen ahead of you, behind you. And it's not going to be like the mock. If you want to get the mock in there, it's fun. It's practice. You know, we do mocks at rotoexperts.com, an exclusive edge package, because, you know, we want to show where we value guys. But I think some of the average players get locked into what they see in a mock and expect the draft to go that way. And when it doesn't, they get a little thrown off.
What I would recommend for people, instead of doing mock drafts, is find the service that you like, whatever.
Hopefully, rotoexperts.com.
Yeah, no, but I know where Matt is talking about for like ADPs.
Okay.
Whatever that service is that you like and trust. Mm-hmm. And make your own board. Like, go on Excel and put the board out there.
Yeah.
And see where those guys are. Because you go into a room and a lot of these, and maybe somebody's there for the first round or the second round.
Sure.
They're gone after. Just see what's going on overall. Map it out on something you have in front of you. And I think that will help you out a lot more. And you have your tiers. So if in the third round the guy you want isn't there, the second or third guy should be.
You know, it's interesting because that is much more along the lines of what I do, right? Like, I try to mock out my friends, and I have an Excel spreadsheet, and I kind of have a feel, figure out who's there. So when I walk into the draft room, I am not surprised when all of a sudden all these guys are gone and I'm screwed in the second round. I'm trying to be as prepared, Corey, as possible.
No doubt.
And a mock draft where, you know, people don't necessarily take so seriously, and they're really playing around with strategies, right? Drafting Aaron Rodgers early, drafting Gronk early, pulling up a random wide receiver, pulling up a random running back. That's not helpful. But when I'm doing it myself, and I'm mocking everything out, literally myself, in a spreadsheet, so I can see how my team formulates one way, and I can literally just press backspace and get it the other way, it's really much more effective, I found.
Yeah, I know the services that people use. They got that one where you click in and it populates, where you do it by yourself and you can do it real quick.
Fantasy Pros.
The Fantasy Pros one. I'm not the biggest fan of that. Some people like it. I'm not the real biggest fan of it. You got ESPN, Yahoo, CBS, they have mock draft rooms. Those are terrible. You got guys that come in and be like, oh, who can I get in the first round? I'll take two or three picks and hang and then leave. That throws their ADP all out of whack. So I don't think that's the proper way to go about it. Fantasy Football Calculator, they do a good job with their mock drafts, the Fantasy Football Calculator. So I do like what they have. But me, myself, personally, I think the best way to go about it, if you live in a place where you can play MFL 10. Mm-hmm. MFL 10s, because they have professional players in MFL 10s, you got expert analysts in MFL 10s, and you got a lot of home league type guys in my fantasy league 10s. They're only $10 a pop, email drafts right there to your phone. You can bang them out. I use those as mock drafts in the NFFC 25s, Matt Medica. Yeah. I also use those as mock drafts. I'm not trying to win those. I'm mocking those. Yeah. And I'm probably going to win anyway, but still. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's the right way to go. It's like for $10 and stuff. Look, it's still $10.
Yeah.
But instead of getting yourself a hero that day's
I'm starving. You mentioned that hero.
It's just you get to see it play out, and people have something, you know, some kind of skin in the game too. And I'm fine with, if you like Corey said, fantasy calculator.
Yeah.
And you want to map
they
it out.
They do good, fantasy football calculator.
And you want to map it out. I just think putting it on an Excel thing and seeing the board in front of you really helps you visualize it. And look, somebody might take that guy around early. You have to have that mindset. But at least you have an idea.
As I have said, I want the idea. I want to be essentially as prepared as possible. And the best way I believe you do that is by just getting that Excel spreadsheet ready, exactly what you guys are saying, having those tiers made, and seeing where each player is, if you're being truthful to yourself, going. And like when I do this, I'm realistic. I think that's another thing, right? You have to be realistic. Like, AJ Green isn't necessarily going to fall to you at 10 anymore with Zeke out, with T.Y. Hilton out. It probably isn't going to happen. So even though you want him, you're at 10, you got to draft him earlier.
Also, we always add this context, though. You have to remember who you play with, and I was talking with somebody about this last night. You know, you're in an average league. You know, you never know. AJ Green might fall to you 10. And in our kind of leagues, you know, he probably won't, but look, in some of the mainstream leagues, and there are people, like all kinds of people in our audience right now, you know, somebody's going to take a quarterback in the first round, and that's going to bump a bunch of guys back. So it's about knowing the room, too. And then, you know, that's like sometimes when I play in certain leagues with certain people I had in my auction the other night, people listen to the show, they realize what I do for a living, and they realize if I like somebody, well, they're going to take them, and they might try to get them.
And just average league or not, even in the high stakes, Monday night in the league I was in, I forget where I was picking. I was picking in the first half of the draft. Actually, I had the number one pick, actually. I took David Johnson. But the 12th pick of that draft was A.J. Green. And I was like, if I had the 12th pick, he would have never been there.
Of course. Of course.
You can't predict the draft. A draft is unpredictable. You try to plan it out and be prepared, but you cannot predict what's going to happen in the draft.
Yeah, and we get a lot of people saying, especially the average players saying, well, I'm at 9, and I know the first 8 picks are going to go this way. You really don't know in like 95% of the cases.
Yeah, I don't necessarily.
See, I said 95%. Okay?
I'll
left that out for you there.
I'll take what Chris Vaccaro likes to say. It's pretty much pick 9 is when you have to start thinking. You know,
I don't think that's true anymore.
I think they're, for me, I think that you're going to have the 1-2 guys, that's set.
Sure.
And you're going to have Brown, Julio, Beckham, that's 5.
Yep.
To me, I still think you got AJ and Evans for the most part are going to go there.
So I don't know if that's true. Yeah, I think most people are thinking LeSean McCoy in that.
Yeah,
that
McCoy would
well.
Be like the 8. He can go up as high as 6.
Yeah.
I still don't think McCoy's going to take a major dive just because of what he put up last year.
Let me look it up, Matt. What he did, what he's winning in the last 7 days.
I think you especially in the average leagues too. I think you start thinking at four because you know it's going to be Bell, Brown, and right. Johnson in number three.
Right.
I've seen all kinds of players different go number four and five.
Well, I think it's 2 points, right? Like I agree, Scott. Like you can make the argument that Julio should go four, Odell should go four, AJ Green should go four, Mike Evans should go four. I think you can make that argument in a league. But I think, Matt, what you're saying is that, listen, if you have the, like me, a 10th, 11th, 12th pick in a draft, you can know, it doesn't matter the order to you anymore, right? You just know that these nine guys aren't going to be there. So I don't really care who goes four and five, Scott. I know that Odell's going to be gone. I know Julio's going to be gone. I know Mike Evans is going to be gone.
Yeah.
I know AJ Green's going to be gone. It doesn't make any sort of difference in what order that's in.
You know, the most popular question is, in fantasy sports right now, at this time of the year, who should I pick at big, you know, what spot? Uh-huh. And the easiest way to answer that always is, like, if you say, who should I take at eight, which I heard, I don't know how many times yesterday, just have, like, you know, you talk about your spreadsheet, your overalls, have your top eight ready, and when it's your turn, you just take the top guy off that
list. Well, I mean, one second, sorry, Corey, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think a better answer to that question is you wrote an article and said the exclusive edge package, Scott. Bill, and now you sell some mania, we need to check out. And you wrote an article saying your guy to the first round, exactly
which
who
I'm
you would
going
draft.
To have to revise today.
exactly who you would draft in each spot.
Yeah.
So to me, I mean, yes, making a top eight, it's easy, but you did write an article saying here's who I would draft in that spot. You just refer him to that.
Yeah. You can do Corey? Well, you have to remember though that even though I wrote that, the flow of every draft is different. So I might say that you might be at eight, here's my ideal pick at six. You know, if that guy's still on the board, you gotta take him.
All right, this is the last 5 days. This is the top. This is NFFC ADP over the last 5 days. So this is very recent data. David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, LeSean McCoy at 7, AJ Green at 8, Jordy at 9, 10 is Melvin Gordon, 11 Devontae Freeman, 12 Michael Thomas.
Where is DeMarco Murray going?
DeMarco Murray is at 13, which I thought it would be lower.
Yeah, I mean, that all those ADPs, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
That's pretty, I mean, that's...
Zeke is at 16.
Yeah.
T.Y. is at 21.
Well, you're kind of ruining...
I was talking to somebody...
You're kind of ruining your next segment.
Number 8.
Oh, my bad.
The other day, and he got Devonta Freeman and DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, I you did that in the mock, Scott. I remember that. I think what you brought up earlier in the show, Corey, Devontae Freeman and LeSean McCoy, like that would be like the most ideal start ever.
I'll tell you, I'm willing to take on some risk here. Like Odell's there at 7, I'm taking him in on the turn.
Ezekiel.
If Elliott's there, I'll take him. This is the best bowl one.
I have one last question for you, Matt. Would you rather have T.Y. Hilton, or Doug Baldwin or Amari Cooper?
I have more shares of Doug Baldwin, to be honest with you.
All right.
I do love him all.
Fair enough. We'll come back. I want to get into the ADPs and how they've changed. ADP Desk next, the Little Experts.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's the Roto Actors in the morning. And I want to play a little ADP desk.
Let's do it.
Now, where are you getting your ADP? Would you prefer those to Fantasy Pros? I gotta do Fantasy Pros. It's for the average player.
I mean, I'd prefer my Fantasy League, but Fantasy Pros is cool with me.
I think my Fantasy League would be good because it's somewhere in between like Fantasy Pros and NFFC.
Yeah, go to the tens though, not the regular because they got so many commissioner.
You don't
servers.
Want the best balls in there or dynasties.
So if you go to the tens though, you have I think the MFL tens personally is the best look at across the industry what ADP should look like.
All right, I think I'm in the right spot now. Let's see. What am I?
Fantasy tools.
I'm just going to say something here, not to promote the NFFC or anything, but I think that I think that ADP you ran down on the last segment, those top 12, I think that's pretty much the industry standard where it's going.
All right, so I'm at MFL 10 public leagues right now. Well, and then bam, here we go.
I don't want MFL 10s though. I don't think that's
no. That's the ones you want, Greg.
I agree with Corey. I think they are more.
I think this is of
the mixture. If you want to know that.
I don't know. I feel good.
Okay, what do you think of Fantasy Pros?
I'm on my Fantasy League. But I don't know if I'm on the right spot. Whatever. Okay.
This is what it should look like.
I got a good one. It's close enough. Right?
That's redrafts. I wouldn't do that, Greg.
You don't want redrafts? I want redrafts.
Yeah, but you...
Why wouldn't I want redrafts? That's what people are doing.
Okay, so that's right. Cool.
What about, I mean...
No, you do want the... You don't want the best balls included. No.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, okay, so the redrafts.
I always go to 12-team.
Okay.
So I
think...
Full redrafts. Let's do it.
All right, let's do this. I think we're good, Core. All right. Maddie, pick a number.
Lucky 7.
Lucky number 7. Currently number 7. This is great. So I did it since August 15th, right? So it's the most recent, within the last week about. Number 7 is Devontae Freeman. Devontae Freeman has now moved up past LeSean McCoy as the number 3 running back. Is that a surprise to you, Matt?
Maybe a little, but I'm fine with it. I am a Devontae Freeman guy. I, you know, like I said, only running back to 1,000 yards each of the last 2 seasons. Double-digit touchdowns. He's still in a great offense. I know they got the new offensive coordinator. They just paid this guy. I don't think they're going to decrease his workload. You know, I understand he has a very talented running back in the backfield with him. But if I ended up in the first round with Devonta Freeman, I'm a happy guy.
All right, Scotty, pick a number, my friend.
111.
111. 111 is running back for the Detroit Lions. That is Theo Riddick. Theo Riddick is number 11. 111, excuse me. And his current ADP, it looks to be, he's going average 108. So he's going pretty early now, I have to say. What do you think of Theo Riddick, Scotty?
I think people, you know, who had him, were disappointed last year. He got injured. He was playing so well. They look at the wrist this year, but for where you're getting Theo Riddick, I think you have to take the crack. I mean, this is the guy. They can't depend on the running game, so they use Theo Riddick a lot as the extension of the running game by throwing him the ball out of the backfield, and he just piles up the PPR numbers when he's available. Even if Abdulist is in there and healthy and doing something, they're still going to find usage for Riddick. He's one of my favorite PPR backs. You know, neither him nor Danny Woodhead can stay healthy, but they both do a really nice job when they're in there.
If you can get Theo Riddick at 111 in like the ninth round, I'll back the truck up and I'll buy all the shares.
I'm all over that.
Look, the guy averaged last 2 seasons, averages 5 receptions a game. So in a PPR, you start, you know, if you're going off that average, that's 5 points. That's pretty much a double-digit points getter each week for you, and I do believe he's going to be more involved in the red zone this season.
Is he practicing yet?
They've had him where he's like the guy you really can't touch yet.
He got the red jersey on.
Yeah, so he's, you know, it, for that aspect. But Theo Riddick's a veteran. Does he really need to be any veteran? I really don't need to see play. Okay. That's just me.
I don't own him nowhere yet. I'm not against him. You know what I'm saying? I just want to make sure that his health is up to standard so I can put him in my lineup in week one. I would like a discount on him, but I think where he's going is not too bad. I can get involved with Theo Riddick because he, this is a guy that really could catch 70 passes.
He's an excellent flex.
Corey, pick a number 1, 2. Pick a number. Any number.
87.
Number 87. That's Sterling Shepard's number, by the way. this is annoying. I screwed up. Oh God! Number 87 in here was Khalil Mack. So that's not helpful.
I try to tell this dude where to go.
Number 87 is Tyann Zach Ertz. That's early, no?
It is early. Maybe that's the recency of them not having Jordan Matthews in the offense no more. You know, so maybe that was is pushing Zach Ertz is ADP up. I like Zach Ertz. I think he can get it done. Him and Carson Palmer, that you saw him get it going down the stretch last year. But then again, Zach Ertz get it going down the stretch every year. What I would want to do with Zach Ertz is I want to be able to get him maybe in that ninth round range, maybe after Martellus Bennett. That's probably a good spot to take Zach Ertz off the board. I think if you can get him in that ninth round range, I have no problem. If he gets off to a solo start like he normally does and you see Brent Celek catching passes and stuff like that, I would protect him a little bit later on, maybe like an Austin Hooper type.
Yeah, look, he's got a nice little bounce from Jordan Matthews. That was one of the reasons why, besides being Mr. December, if Jordan Matthews was going to be in the slot, I thought he was going to take away from Zach Ertz. I do think Wentz is going to go to him a ton this year. He's a guy that I'll move up my tight end board. He's around that. Do I take him before or after Bennett? I mean, I love where Bennett is, but I could see that debate, Ertz or Bennett.
Look, he's going to have radar for Ertz, and you have to remember something. What if Alshon Jeffrey gets injured? Zach Ertz is going to be his only target that he can vent on. I'm not buying all this Nelson Aguilar hype. You know, and you can't always go to Jeffrey. You need somebody. He's got the most proven rapport of quality with anybody on the roster with Ertz.
Yeah, I guess he does. No.
Yeah, he's the guy that he's played with the most, who's actually the quality pass catcher.
Absolutely. So I wanted to circle back here briefly to kind of the topic of the day at 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. And that really was when it comes to Odell Beckham Jr.'s injury. And it's what you do at the top of the draft. And it is diverse, and it is the question about diversifying your rosters in order to be safe.
Yeah.
And Scott, Odell Beckham is obviously currently ninth overall on your board, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's ninth overall on your board. So that means right now, today, if you did 30 drafts today, you were taking Odell Beckham ninth every single time, correct?
Yeah.
And obviously, Matt.
I'm hoping if I have an earlier pick, I'll take him earlier.
Sure.
But I'm not going to, like I said, if I had four drafts and I had three Odell and one AJ Green at nine, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. I think that ultimately, this roster diversification is something that I obviously understand it. I'm more on the side of diversify my rosters in order to.
Can I just make a point? Like the New York Super, I'm going to get my guys, and I'm going to go by my rankings of what I have.
That's what I was going to say right there.
So if that can clarify
that,
anything.
That's. I was going to ask you that. In the Super, you're just going to go get your guys.
I don't even give a damn about rounds. I'm getting my guys.
Okay.
Because I know certain guys.
Because that's your most important league.
Guys in that league are going to pull people up. And, you know, that's the way I'm going to work it.
Okay, but that is your most important league.
And at a certain point with rankings, like when you look at people's rankings, you have to stop. You have to build a team.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
why I don't like these 200 overall.
Roster context. People say, like, where's your overalls on Roto Experts? I need to know your top 200. Like, you don't draft over an overall past maybe the first round.
I do, pretty much. I have my top 30 running backs. I know the board. I can do the board without even looking. So I have my top 30 running backs, and after that, it's do I need this pass catching? Do I need somebody with upside? Do I need maybe a Frank Gore, somebody? I have too much risk. I need somebody. You know, so it's going to change.
That's how you do it. What do you tell the average player? Like, if that average player asked you, where do I cut the line at the overall?
The best advice I would give them is the first five rounds, build a solid team. If you build a solid team in those first five rounds, and you're comfortable with, say, three wide receivers and two running backs there. You know, after that, get your quarterback, get your tight end, and start filling in with players you think are the best players.
A lot of people have trouble sticking to that, too, though, because at some point, especially with the mainstream player, they're going to go, oh, man, Drew Brees is still on the board, you know, and they'll veer off of it.
Look, it's tough. I look at it too. Look, if even if I didn't want to take Aaron Rodgers, if he falls to me, and I have, like, say, pick 4-2, and Aaron Rodgers is there, I'm probably going to take him. To me, he shouldn't be there, and he's that. It's not even that he's that good. He's that consistent year in.
You play in a lot of 6-point passing touchdowns.
Yes, I do.
Would you advise that kind of mentality in the 4-point?
In
though?
The 4-point, I'm willing to wait more. So, say if Rodgers went normally in Drew Brees normally went in the 7th round of a 4-point. In the 6th round, I'm open to buying him there. You know, maybe I jump these guys around a half a round more.
The The interesting part of what you just said, and you kind of knew you said it at the time, Matt, was that that New York Super, your biggest league, your most important league, take all money out of it, it's your most important league. And I know, Scott, your league where you have the biggest bragging rights with your friends is your most important league.
I would say probably GST is.
Okay, GST is your most important league. That's probably why you're annoyed that I was having too much fun there and not taking it as seriously as I should have been.
Well, that's you. It's like I was getting more annoyed at my co-owner because it's just passion. And like at certain points, like, we got to get a quarterback here. I'm like, you pick a quarterback here, I'm getting up and leaving.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That was intense.
That's not good. That's
passion.
Not good teamwork, Scott.
It's bad chemistry.
Teamwork make the dream work.
The teamwork. That's, you know, that's the 86 Mets slogan. That's very good.
Lord.
We got the teamwork to make a dream work.
And that's why they ain't won nothing since.
Like the Cowboys.
We take our final break of the program.
96.
Roto Experts in the Morning. Followed by a Fantasy Football Frenzy. That is up next. We're back right after this.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
NFL news for you, breaking early this morning, and that is the fact that Deshaun Kizer has been named the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns for the third preseason game. Not, well, there's number three.
No. I caught it.
Not officially the starting quarterback, but we know he's going to start the third preseason game. Of course, he was ways away in the spring. There was no way he was going to start. And here he is, third preseason game. Looks to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
If the option is Brock Osweiler, why not just go this route? That's the way I would look at it. Let's see. I think Corey's right. It helps the running game. He does have a big arm. He can get the ball down the field. So I'm still in on Kenny Britt. And if you like Corey Coleman, but I don't think it really kills it because I don't think Osweiler was that good. You know, I mean, were you excited if it would have been Brock Osweiler?
No. Connor Warren, NFL.com says this is obviously a test for Hugh Jackson. Put it all into Sean Kaiser's lap. Wait and see how he deals with it. If not, if he kind of lays an egg, well, maybe back to Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, and then, you know, this is his real opportunity to play against first team defenses. Week 3 is considered the dress rehearsal. And all the quarterback situation's not good. He probably should have stayed another year in college. Holds on to the ball too long. Takes off kind of early. I think the Cleveland offense is going to sputter, and that's going to affect Crowell. That's why I don't have Crowell in my top 12. And, you know, I like Britt less now, too.
You wonder what, as a Bills fan, what kind of, like, annoys the hell out of me right now, is, look, I think the guy they got when they traded out of that 10 spot, Tre'Davious White, he looks like an awesome player. He looks like he has a very good future ahead of him. Mm-hmm. It looks like a very good pick, and they got the number one pick last year. But now the way it stands, where it's just a total, they're going in the rebuild mode, I wish they would have got Pat Mahomes. And I think maybe Cleveland should have, at some point, with all their draft picks that they have, even next year, and they had last year, and going 2 years down the road, maybe should have got a Pat. I mean, Pat Mahomes looks like really good.
Well, I know what he looks like, but to be fair, we have no idea if Pat Mahomes would be better than Deshaun Kizer.
I would take that bet. I mean, I think...
We're not in Vegas.
Remember we talked about Tyrod Taylor to Jacksonville and had fun with that? Throw this out here. Tyrod Taylor to Cleveland.
Why?
No, they become a better team that. There.
That's not a movie.
I think Alex Smith to Jacksonville is a better shot.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
I don't see that happening. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. From everything I'm hearing about this, look, there's certain things. Like, even with, like, Trubisky, look, even though it was against second or third stringers, it's certain throws you could make on certain plays. This kid seems to have, I mean, such a big arm. And unless you're like a Jeff George where you just, you got the big arm and that's it.
Hopefully he doesn't have the Jeff George head.
Yeah. I didn't want to go that. I was going to call him something, but
you're talking about him from just from like a athletic perspective.
I don't know. Everything I keep every time I see something or I read up on this guy, the more and more I wish, if I knew he was going to be like this as a Bills fan, I would have taken him. I think the owner really wanted him. I think that was one of the things that I think, you know, led to the exit. But I'm happy the GM's gone.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. Hey, Corey, what's coming up next to Fantasy Football Frenzy?
All right, coming up today on the Fantasy Football Frenzy, going to get into some deep sleepers, obviously get over some of the news and stuff. Also, we were talking average draft positions earlier and, you know, ADPs and mock drafting. We're going to look at some wrong ADPs. There's a lot of players out there right now on the more popular mainstream sites that have the wrong ADP. So we want to make sure everybody, when you're going to your draft this weekend, these players are going in spots where they shouldn't be going. So we want to break that down today.
You know it's real, what site's real interesting for that? NFL.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
They have the wrong ADPs also?
No, some of them.
Put it like this.
It's standard over there too.
Yeah.
Their default is standard.
Yeah. I'm not nothing standard about me, Scott. I'm above average.
And below in some spots.
So childish. It's very immature, Greg.
Yeah, okay. This guy.
Fantasy Football Frenzy is up next. For Matt Modica, for Corey Parson, and the King, Scott Angle. My name is Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic rest of your afternoon. Enjoy the Fantasy Football Frenzy. And we'll see you right back here tomorrow. Bye-bye.